Tomorrow came. The thing Broad couldn't believe about Valbec was how much it hadn't changed. Not a year ago, smoke poured from the mills as they burned to black shells. Now, most of those shells were already demolished and the chimneys thrown up taller than before, smoke pouring from them as they worked. That same perpetual gloom and scratching smoke and stink of the great unwashed and unwashable. Those same showers of sparks and blooms of steam and snatches of old work song from the foundry doorways. The river in its rotten banks was stained again from the dye works upstream, choked with boats and churned to parti-coloured froth by bigger water wheels than ever. The destruction of the uprising hadn't put off the investors one bit, only opened up new opportunities. Scaffolds teetered everywhere, as if giant spiders were spinning webs over the city. There were barricades about still, but made from sharpened stakes rather than broken furniture, manned not by shabby breakers, but by King's own in bright uniforms, ready to crush any sign of disobedience with the full force of His Majesty's heavily armed displeasure. The queues of the broken and needy clogged the streets around the manufactories, rain spitting down on them black from soot. Only difference from the sorry processions Broad begged for work in a year before was that they were even longer. "Any of you know a man called Solby?" he asked, holding up his fist, wasn't bothering to hide it any more. "He'd have a tattoo like this one." Some flinched away, some shook their heads, some barely even seemed to hear him, lost in their own misery. They'd nearly finished rebuilding the bank, and swabbed away the burners' slogans and cleaned up the square before the courthouse. From the three gibbets in front, though, they were doing nearly as brisk a business in hangings as when Judge was in charge. Round the corner, the whores were doing brisk business too, a clutch of them in bedraggled finery, hair gathered up to show bruised necks, and skirts gathered up to show pale legs, and paint smudged by the summer shower. "Any of you girls know a fella called Solby?" Broad asked, holding up a silver mark.
"You talk to those girls, it'll cost you,"
said a rat-faced pimp, skulking over from an alleyway. Broad gave him a look.
"You sure?"
The man frowned and twitched and skulked back into the shadows. Broad turned his hand around to show the back.
"He'd have a tattoo like this one."
The nearest girl shook her head. He gave her the coin anyway.
"What do you want for it?"
she asked, and Broad wondered how young she was under that smeared paint. Young as May, younger probably.
"Just take it."
He trudged down a slum street not far from where he'd once lived, the way just rutted dirt and ashes and rubbish flung out from the houses, dark from the buildings leaning together and the washing flapping in the gritty breeze. There were no drains, only pools of fly-blown filth fenced off in places to make pens for the squealing hogs, their runoff leaking through the slit windows into the cellars where the poorest eked out some kind of a living. Four men came past with a coffin up on their shoulders and a sad crowd at their backs. Two women walked ahead in good black dresses. Best clothes round here were the funeral clothes. They were worn often enough, after all. Undertakers were great ones for persuading grieving folk to spend money they didn't have. That way, debt could follow you even into the land of the dead. Broad stood aside to watch the mourners pass. Wanted to give them something, the way they'd all chipped in when he lived on a street like this, even when they had next to nothing to give. He wanted to give them something, but he set his jaw against it. You can't make every problem your problem, Liddy was always telling him, and she was right. He caught an old man limping along at the back in ragged black.
"You know a fella called Solby?"
"I don't know no one no more."
And he limped on. The warehouse the breakers once met in was a shell of blackened timbers. This was where they'd listened to Rissinau, all huddling around his lies like a poor family around a one-coal fire, all staring off bright-eyed towards that better tomorrow. And here it was. Tomorrow came, and it was much like yesterday, just more so. A couple of ragged boys were playing in an ash-black gutter, racing woodlice or some such. Broad squatted down beside them.
"You boys know a fellow called Salby?"
They stared at him, big round eyes in their thin, dirty faces, like enough to be twins. But then the starving all looked the same.
"He'd have a tattoo, a bit like this one," said Broad, holding out his fist.
Then he turned it over and opened it and showed them the silver coin glinting there.
"I've a tattoo like that."
Broad smiled, but it was hard to keep smiling once he'd turned around.
"Salby?"
He hardly recognised the man he'd fought beside in Styria, stood beside in Valbec. His back looked bent somehow, and his hair was clipped short and scattered with bald patches, and his face so lean you could almost see the little fibres shift in his cheeks.
"Gone abroad, back from the dead."
Salby's voice had a throaty crackle to it. Seemed he'd aged 10 years in the 10 months since they last spoke.
"Heard you were looking for me."
"That I am."
Broad caught his hand and shook it and thought how weak it felt, like squeezing a glove full of dust.
"I thought maybe you was one of the ones they hanged," said Salby.
"I thought maybe you was too. Glad to see you not."
Salby didn't return the well wishes. Didn't look like he had much room for 'em.
"I see you've prospered," he said,
giving Broad a long look up and down. Sad thing was, he'd picked the most threadbare clothes he could find. Maybe because he didn't want to stand out. Maybe because he was shamed about why he did. Even so, he looked like a rich man among these ghosts and beggars. He'd forgotten how bad it could get. Strange, how quick you forget. No matter how hungry Salby looked, he ate slow, as if it hurt. He was a shred of the man he'd been, a ghost of himself. Didn't matter how strong you were, or tough, or brave, this life would grind you down soon enough. The work, and the smoke, and the dust, and the sickness, and the rank water, and the rotten food, and the bad living, and the never enough of anything.
"So where are you living now?"
asked Salby out the side of his mouth as he chewed.
"In Ostenholm."
"Angland, eh? Got work up there, then?"
"Some."
"Not mill work, I reckon?"
"No."
Broad thought about lying, but he owed Salby the truth, didn't he? Owed him that much.
"Been working for Savine Dan Brock."
Salby gave an ugly snort.
"Savine Dan Glockty, you mean? The darling of the slums? You ever see that pamphlet of hers?"
He laughed, dry and choking, and it turned into a cough, and he had to wash it down with the thin ale they served here.
"How fucking stupid does she think we are?"
"From what I've seen, she's a pretty good judge," said Broad. "Of that, and most everything else."
"And what does the likes of you do for the likes of her? Turn your hand to millinery, did you? Or have you gone from poacher to gamekeeper?"
"I've done what I had to,"
growled Broad, feeling the anger coming up hot.
"I've got a wife and daughter to take care of. They're happy, for the first time in years. You think I'm saying sorry for that?"
Salby held his eye.
"Didn't ask you to. Just want to know where you stand is all."
Broad realised he'd got out of his chair and was bent over the table, clenched fists trembling on the wood and his lips curled back. Realised everyone in the wretched little place was looking at him. He blinked and slowly lowered himself again and made his fists unclench. Seemed an effort, like there were barrel bands around his hands holding them shut.
"I tried it your way."
He settled his lenses back on his sweaty nose, made himself breathe slow.
"Look where it got us."
"All we done was take a first step. There'll be many more on the road to freedom, and much more lost along the way, I don't doubt. Might be I'll never see the end of it."
Salby had the light of belief in his eyes, or maybe the light of madness. Maybe there was no difference.
"But the day'll come when my kind will. Depend on that, Bull Broad.
There's a great change coming.
So, you're still with the Breakers?
Salby slowly forked up the last of his food and slowly chewed it and looked at Broad with narrowed eyes.
What's it to you whether I'm with them or not?
Broad paused, felt like huddling in the trenches at Borletta, his hand on the ladder, waiting to rush at the walls. One more step, then there'd be no going back. He whispered it.
I need to talk to the Weaver.
He saw the muscles on the side of Salisbury's gaunt face squirm as he clenched his teeth.
Well, you've got some fucking nerve. Savine Dan Glockter's errand boy, come back here all fat and shiny, asking to see the Weaver.
No one ever accused me of too little nerve.
Salby barked out a joyless laugh.
No, no one accused you of that.
There was silence as he slowly tore off a piece of bread and slowly swept it around in the gravy on his plate till he'd soaked up every drop.
But I gotta warn you, the cool heads all died with Malma. Feelings are running hot.
I need to talk to the Breakers, Salby, cool heads or not.
I can take you to them.
Salby slowly chewed, slowly swallowed, slowly sat back.
But what happens after ain't up to me.